Good. Number six, we should learn, we should learn about our God-given spiritual gifts so that we can use them effectively to serve the body of Christ. And we're going to look at that, and it's implied when Paul lists the gifts and gives instructions regarding certain gifts. It implies that you should recognize them and you should know them. Does that make sense? Right? And we're going to look at specific instructions in the weeks to come of how to use specific spiritual gifts, the ones listed that I had on the little chart, right? Number seven, okay. Okay, it is God the Holy Spirit who decides which spiritual gift is given to each believer. You can read the passage up there. The implication is when we find out what spiritual gift we have been given, we don't need to boast about our gift or feel inferior, because the reality is that certain gifts in the church, which also depends on denomination actually, which is very strange. Because think about it. Among evangelical churches, or let's say even churches that are here, what's this category again? Continuationists, that believe in the existence of all gifts, but may not practice them as openly as the charismatics, thank you, which is different than the, okay, good, if you can't, maybe you'll remember that, I don't know, during lunch, okay, for churches here, guess which spiritual gifts we think are like the most important. Just shout it out. Thank you. Teaching, what else? Evangelism. Sorry? There's one more that I'm thinking of. Can you shout it out? Anyone else? Hello? Anyone? Like, we think people are famous in these categories. Yeah, like musical worship. That's what musical worship ability. Musical worship leaders, right? Like, if you really think about it, and perhaps on an internally, leadership ability, internally. But I probably wouldn't say evangelism, actually. But internally, like leadership ability, internally for the local church, like in terms of who holds power and influence. Like, just think about all the famous Christians you know that are on YouTube, like in the evangelical world. They are in the teaching category or music category. Just think about it. Like, just all the names you know. Who here knows a famous believer known for serving? Who can name three known for their gift of serving? Who can name three? Just name two. Name two. Huh? Mother Teresa. I slow clap for both Carms. But name two, I said. Ha ha. Second one. Known for their serving ability. Aha! Huh? Sorry. Did I stump you? Yeah, I stumped you. Yeah, thanks, Eddie. that's what I mean. Do you know what I mean, right? Like, it depends on the denomination which gifts we find most important. But you know what? If you have charismatic friends, guess which gifts are most important here? Shout it out. Gift of tongues? Sorry, gifts of healing, yeah. Hello, I'm missing one. Thank you. Very good. You realize, right? The people here, and people here are literally called prophets, right? In this, they're literally called prophets. And did you know here in the more extreme local assemblies of those who are on this side, what do they believe about the gift of tongues when it comes to believers on an extreme side? That if you don't have the gift of tongues, you might not be saved. You might not be a real Christian on some extreme communities, right? My point is, like, depending on which denomination and local church you grew up in, they will major on certain ones. But you know what? In any of these areas, these three, you know which gifts aren't given most importance? Serving, gifts of mercy, right? There are certain gifts that will never get full attention, right? And so if you have that, you don't need to feel inferior. You know who gave you that gift? God, the Holy Spirit, right? You don't need to feel inferior. And those who have the gifts that humanly speaking, are deemed more important, those people don't need to boast, because the Holy Spirit also gave you those gifts. There's a purpose for that, for us to use it, to benefit one another in a way that facilitates unity between us. Does that make sense? It's the Holy Spirit that does it. All right. Okay. All right. Number eight. We're almost done. Spiritual gifts are relatively permanent, but we must be careful not to grieve the Holy Spirit by our sinful choices. Relatively permanent. Okay, well, relatively permanent. They are given at least until Jesus returns or when we're taken into heaven, like upon death, right? But they're relatively permanent. I'll tell you why. It would be strange if every week our gift is different, right? Because then I guess you guys will be preaching up here and I'll be serving, it would be kind of strange, first of all, logically. But second, biblically, the analogy of the body and different members implies that you are one part of the body and you'll remain that. Like a foot doesn't become like a hand, you know what I mean, right? And moreover, the gifts, Paul's instructions in the gifts implies that there is consistency, that you will continue to have your spiritual gift, to continue to use it to benefit the body. Does that make sense? Right? Like you have to one, recognize what gift you have. Two, read Paul's instructions in the Bible to go, how should I use my gift? Right? And then three, there has to be stability that you actually have the gift to keep using it in that way. Does that make sense? Right? So there is a relative permanence in the gifts. So if God has given you that gift, you generally have it for the rest of your life. However, we must be careful because in Ephesians chapter 4, we are admonished not to grieve the Holy Spirit with our sinful choices. If memory serves me well, the immediate context especially refers to anger, various degrees of anger. If memory serves me well, in chapter 4, verses 30 to 32. Regardless, I think it applies to all sinful choices in which we grieve the Holy Spirit because, after all, the Bible teaches us that the Holy Spirit is not an energy, nor a force, nor a power, but he's a person. And he is the person of the triune God who dwells within every believer. And it is possible to make him sad when we make decisions that dishonor Jesus. It is possible. And upon implication, when you read the corresponding passage in, I'll give you the reference for those who want to look it up. In Isaiah chapter 63, verse 10, where the Spirit was grieved and he withdrew from them by implication. I mean, you see this particularly, less so in the New Testament actually, but more in the Old Testament in which, for example, remember Samson? He was also gifted by the Holy Spirit. Samson wasn't just strong because he was naturally strong, by the way, right? Like, if you think about it, right? Because on remember Samson? What was he known for again? By appearance? He was strong, but his appearance? Long hair, right? Like, long hair, right? And, like, by appearance, it seems like his strength was connected to his long hair. But it really wasn't, if you really think about it. It was actually when he was filled with the Holy Spirit that he had that super strength. But when he sinned against God in so many ways, sexual sin, in drunkenness and whatnot, and he revealed his secret as a Nazirite. Anyway, there's a lot of, like, he kind of broke the vow and all that. Like, he just sinned against God in, like, too many ways, right? He lost his power, right? You know why he lost his power? Because the Holy Spirit withdrew from him, you see? So you see a lot more of that. Same with King Saul. The Holy Spirit withdrew from him. Anyway, but you can go, if you just really think about, for those of you who remember the Old Testament, you think about all these times, our sin can grieve the Holy Spirit. And by implication, I think he'll withdraw from us. And so we got to be careful so we don't make the sinful choices and rendering ourselves ineffective to serve the body of Christ. That's what will happen. Okay? If we make sinful choices, right, even our gifts won't be able to help the body of Christ. Okay, let's move on. We're almost done. Number nine. Okay, this one we need to dwell a little bit on. A lack of spiritual gifting does not excuse one's participation in a particular ministry. Okay. Because the tendency is this, and it is a human frailty that I myself also have. We say, I don't have the gift of evangelism, and therefore, therefore, I don't need to evangelize, right? Right? I don't need to evangelize, right? I don't have a certain gift. here's the best one. I always laugh at it. I'm not going to laugh at you guys personally, but I always laugh at it. I don't have the gift of giving. Therefore, it's like, okay. you got to laugh at this. And then and then the worst one, I've never heard anyone say it, but when there is dishes to be done after pie, I don't have the gift of serving. Like that's the most, I've never heard anyone say it, but if you say it, I'm calling you out on it right now. I'm calling you out on it. I don't have the gift of dishwashing. Okay. right? No, my point is just think about, if you think about the ridiculousness of some of it, you'll know what I mean. Like in the sense that there is a sense in which there is a quote unquote, I guess, division of labor based on our giftedness. And I think that's helpful, right? In terms of those gifted in service should be focusing on service, those gifted in teaching should focus on teaching, and so on and so on. But that doesn't mean we are excused from our basic Christian responsibility. Because look at the list of the gifts for a second, and think about which ministry from flowing from those gifts that Christians are responsible for. The miraculous ones, the miraculous gifts will throw you off a little bit, but you look at the other ones, if you really think about it, every Christian is responsible for pretty much most of them. Just think about it for a second, right? Okay, serving, okay, we've talked about that. Teaching. If you have children and you don't have the gift of teaching, are you responsible to teach your children the gospel? Yes, you are. Yes, you are, because Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4 tells us that fathers in particular are to raise up their children in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Yes, you are. Yes, you are, right? And so despite not having a spiritual gift, which you probably means you will not focus on that particular ministry in the local church, doesn't excuse you from doing the basic Christian responsibility. Evangelism. Every Christian is called to go and make disciples of all nations. Every Christian is called to do that. And to do that, the first stage in that, when we baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, is to share the gospel. Every Christian is responsible for that, right? And if you don't have the gift, it doesn't mean that you're not responsible, right? But it does mean that in our interaction with one another as a family, there would be a division of labor according to our gifting in our gathering. But in regards to your individual Christian responsibility, you are still, here's another one, which I hope that we can investigate more, particularly the miraculous gifts, so that, I'm not saying we have to go here, right? We're here, I'm not saying we have to go here, right? You know what I'm trying to say, right? But I hope that as we investigate the miraculous spiritual gifts, I'm just using it so that we can talk about this category, that I do believe that there are members of our congregation who have been gifted in the gifts that are here that are not commonly used. Gifts of healing, gifts of prophecy. And I think those will, if used properly, can greatly benefit our community and greatly benefit the furtherance of God's kingdom through our gospel ministry to our community. I really believe that. I really believe that. I think it is a loss if we don't pursue that. For those of you who are gifted in those ways, right? And so even the gifts of healing, for example, those of you who don't have a gift of healing, like Jesus, laying of hands, right? If you have a non-Christian friend that is going through some debilitating illness, it is perfectly appropriate and very likely God is calling you to say to this non-Christian friend, hey, I'm a follower of Jesus, and I believe that Jesus has power to heal, and Jesus is a good God, and he's a loving God. And I was wondering if I can pray for you to ask God to heal, right? And if you do that, I don't know. I've heard testimonies of people that don't have the gift of healing, but have seen God answer that prayer. Do you see? See in that moment? What is that? That doesn't flow from your spiritual gifting. It just flows from just being a Christian. You're just a Christian, being responsible. You're praying for those who don't know Jesus. That's it. Basic Christian responsibility. And finally, number 10, as we wrap up. Number 10. We should cultivate a desire to ask God for more spiritual gifts in order to serve the church family. Paul says, earnestly desire the higher gifts. The higher gifts in that context is those gifts that most benefit the body of Christ. And ask, pray. And we should be praying and asking God. So I want to encourage you, if you've never thought about spiritual gifts, and you have an increasing desire to serve God and build up his people, I want to encourage you to consider in your prayer life asking God, God, give me a pure desire to want to serve your people. And will it please you to give me spiritual gifts that I had not had before so that I can serve your people better? And then wait. Some of us might be surprised. And when God answers that prayer, it's going to make our community that much more beautiful. And we've begun with the pictures, metaphors of the body of Christ. And they are not just metaphors, but they are spiritual realities. The Bible calls the community of believers a body. It's a metaphor, but it is a spiritual reality of our union, of our connectedness to each other and to God, a union that can never be broken, never be broken. Although, on a day-to-day level, we're working at getting that better with one another. The Bible calls the community of Christians family. It's a metaphor, but it's more than a metaphor, because we are family. God is our Father. We are brothers and sisters in Christ. We are family. Although, on a day-to-day level, we're working on getting that better. And my hope is, as we continue to look at the scriptures regarding spiritual gifts, that each of us will have an attitude, and those of us who have been believers longer will have the later attitudes, but we'll begin to have an attitude to go, wow, I get to be part of God's family and the body of Christ. And you move on to discover, as you pray and as you reflect and as other believers talk to you about how you're using your spiritual gifting, you come to a conclusion, the next step is, wow, so that's how God has gifted me. That's how God has gifted me. And then you go from that to a finally, an attitude where you're saying to yourself, wow, God has placed me at this church, at our local church, and I am needed in the body. I am needed. Every one of us should say that, should think that. I'm needed, right? I'm needed. Okay, those of us, just a side note, sometimes we stumble over the fact that, are we actually needed? Is everyone dispensable? Yeah, we are dispensable, ultimately speaking, but practically speaking, you're needed. Right, just think about it. Anyway, you know what I'm trying to say, right? Like sometimes we want to, like sometimes our theology makes us uberly spiritual to be like, no, everyone is dispensable. Yeah, we are, but think about it. If some of our key leaders in the church somehow got sick for a whole year, you think this church will not suffer? Of course it will. Practically, doesn't make sense, right? So let me tell you. Ultimately, no one is ultimately indispensable. Only Jesus is indispensable. I agree. But practically speaking, on a day-to-day, week-to-week level, yeah, every one of us is needed. Every one of you is needed. And I hope that as we discover the spiritual gifts, you'll realize, wow, I'm part of this body. God has gifted me in this way. And I am needed in this family. And I want to serve. And I want to build this body. And I want to make our family better. I want to make us better. And so, in the next sermon, we will look at every gift in detail, and now we will sing to the Lord in response.